Greetings, everyone. This is Christina Turin. It's lovely to see all the people that have signed on this morning. I see that Julie is on, Bev Tack, Julie Parcel, Haley Molinar, Diane Clark, Gekka Blanken, Rebecca Mitkalik, Lisa Justin, Harriet von Eisendale, Tanya Stevens. Oh, you made it, Tanya. And Angela Westfall, Heather Naducci, and Denise McKenzie. Would you do me a favor and press number 1 on your keypad if you can hear me? Okay, I guess I am alive today. So that's wonderful. So yesterday we had a pretty amazing call with the group 2. It sounded a little bit more somber than most of our calls. We were talking about things to expect in hospice when you're playing music and what kind of music to play. So we're going to actually not repeat the music, what to play on the dissolution of elements as a person comes to the end of their life and what to look for, because it was very well laid out yesterday in our recording. So I'm going to ask you to listen to that recording when it's posted, and I'll try to get it up in the next 2 days. But what we are going to talk about today is what kind of music to play when people are in the grieving process. And then that way the group 2 people can listen to this recording too. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to open up the mic and ask if anybody has any questions about the work that we're doing this month on hospice work, and if they have any questions about the January quiz before we go over the grieving process. Or if you'd just like to say hello, instead of taking the time to open the mic to everyone, if you would like to say hi to people and you push number 1 on your keypad, it'd be lovely to hear your voice. So anybody have anything they'd like to say? And let's go to Meta. How are you, Meta?
Hi, Christina. I'm good. I was thinking about palliative care and working with the dying, and the difficulty that I've been finding with the conflict between the families and the dying person.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
How I've been dealing with that by really withdrawing, actually, because sometimes the need of the family to stop someone from crying and to really silence the dying person has kind of really been quite conflictual for me to watch, and I find it quite difficult to deal with. It's okay for them to cry, but if the dying person is either expressing pain or fear or sadness, and they're verbalizing that, then they're told to shush and be quiet.
Right.
And I found that quite hard to stay in the room with, so I've actually walked away.
Right. So one of the things that we talked about yesterday in the dissolution of elements is that the second element in the human body to dissolve is the water element. The first one is the earth element. And the earth element is the one where the people feel like they're losing their groundedness, and they're asking for more pillows, and, you know, they're still eating food. But the whole process is beginning to dissolve. The second one is the water element, and that's when the water is beginning to leave the body. And many forms of that are in the forms of crying. It's in the form of people needing to be catheterized, and they have Foley bags. And so it's a natural process, and for the family to try to discourage somebody from crying, it's not part of the natural process. So then the question is how to deal with that. And that's where a lot of your counseling techniques that you studied back in October with mirroring the words of people come in handy. So you're going to be in the room, you're going to be providing music, you're going to be matching somebody. So normally what would happen in this case is that you would play a deep Aeolian mode. And we went into talking about that yesterday. Excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat. Sorry. So you would play a deep Aeolian mode, and somebody asked me, what do you mean by deep? And it just means it's slower, it's more reflective. There's Aeolian where it's lighter, and it just happens to be a minor mode. But this is a very deep, and that actually helps the water to release from the body. So if you're in with a family and they are not wanting somebody to cry, which is a natural process, what you can do is you can counter that somewhat by staying in the Ionian mode and not playing minor music, okay? You, at the same time, if you have a chance to talk to somebody on the side, you can just simply say, this is a very natural process right now, and it's actually good for the body to release. But some people are, families attending are just not able to hear that. And so, therefore, musically, just stay in the Ionian for a while instead of going into any minor music. That's just one little tip to help, Metta. I've had situations, I remember specifically one where the chaplain came and said, we need you in a room upstairs. This woman is in the process of dying, and her family are on either side of her bed, and they're fighting over her, and it's not a nice scene. So I went up there, and the first thing I went in, I asked, which was probably the biggest mistake, was what was her favorite piece of music? And the husband and the daughter were on one side of her, and the two sons and their wives were on the other side. It was this. No, it wasn't. It was that. No, it wasn't. It was this. No, that you're wrong. You know, this is going back and forth over this woman who's laying there just, you know, fading away. And all she's hearing is the family fighting. And so at that point, I said, shh. I said, I'll play both of them. And what I did was I wove both of those songs together, so that it was one of the ones that went into the other. And luckily, in that case, they were both in the same mode. So this is why it's really, really, really important to understand that. Number one lesson, how to find the mode of a piece. If you ever think to yourself, gee, I'm missing something here. Go back to number one. Go back to number one. And look at that chart at the very end of those support papers. It's all a, what do I want to say? What's the word? It's all a, the word has just escaped me. It's a pattern, that's it. It's all a pattern. And when you understand those patterns of that last page, then immediately you can say to yourself, oh, that song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Oh, yes, that's an Ionian song. Oh, yes, because it's Ionian, it has three chords that I can improvise on. I can play the first refrain from that, and then I can just improvise away. And, oh, she likes Amazing Grace. Oh, that's another Ionian song, three chords. Gee, I can put I Left My Heart in San Francisco and Amazing Grace together, and I can flow from one to another by connecting them with those three chords. And you can do this with any of the songs. It's just understanding how to find that mode. And after a while, you hear it. You hear the difference between a Mixolydian, a mix, an Aeolian, and a Ionian. And the other one that we use, not so much as those three, is the Dorian. So, and then the pattern is right there. Dorian. Oh, this is a Dorian piece. That means I'm going to improvise on the root and go down to the seventh and back to the root, just like the Aeolian. I'm going to improvise on the root, go down to the seventh and back, just like the Mixolydian. I'm going to improvise on the root, go down to the seventh and back. When you understand that, the improvisations become so easy. You don't even have to think twice. Okay? And so that's what I would do musically speaking. Then the other is mirroring back what they're saying. I know you must be very, very sad because you're seeing them cry right now. It's really, really hard. But it is a natural process type thing. Does that help at all, Meta?
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. And I think when you're talking about making mistakes, it's very difficult coming into the chaos that was being spoken about when I was watching the videos, the chaos that can be around the dying process with the grief and the fighting, and that's really hard to just stay centered and for me to stay grounded in.
Right. And that's something that we have to work on for ourselves, is how to stay centered and grounded. And it's not always easy. Believe me, it's not always easy. There are all kinds of things in life that can just rock us. And I've really taken to reading some daily meditations to try to keep my mind calmed and still about certain things that go on around me. Because the mind will take you down the path of turmoil. It will take you down that path. And if you can stay absolutely present, then you can rise above it and just focus on gratitude. But the mind plays amazing tricks on us to get us all wrapped up into fear and things like that. And so I think, you know, our way of working with ourselves, using heart math, is an amazing tool. I know some of you saw this when we were in the UK for the class. Just to learn how to focus on your breath. It's all about focusing on your breath. And then the monkey mind comes in, and you have to say, oh, God, I'm starting to think about something now. No, focus on the breath. Focus on the breath. And one of the tools that I use that really helps a lot is especially working in hospice. I did a lot more than I'm doing right now, is beading. And just go to a bead store, find some beautiful beads, and there's a excuse me, there's a tradition that if you bring the elements, the earth and the fire and the water and the air, into your body, into your soul, 4 to the 4th power, that's 254 times, that you'll balance those different qualities within you. You'll have the earth element and the fire, enough happiness and enough earth so you're not being worried, enough water so you're not being fearful, and enough air into your body. And so with the beads, I string them together, and then I put some nice beads that I can focus on different parts of my body while I do it. I kind of go right up through from the first chakra right up to the top, and I just breathe into that. And it takes me probably about 15-20 minutes in the morning to do that. But the days that I don't do it are the days when I get off kilter. And the days that I do it, I know that I've practically breathed into my body over 600 deep breaths, because each time I come to the end of that, I do 3 deep breaths. And what you're doing is you're bringing the oxygen into your body. You're bathing all of those cells in your body with oxygen. So this is one way to help ground yourself. And if you, I actually use the ancient Egyptian words for earth, fire, water, air, and it's El-Ka-Lim-Om. And because I try to do sounding at the same time, I've actually taken one of the songs that's, And I started too low. I should have started higher. So I have this song that goes to my highest range and to my lowest range. And I just sing it this way. El Kalim home, El Kalim home, El Kalim home, El Kalim home. And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing all those different frequency pitches into my body with my voice in the morning, while at the same time I'm breathing, because if you're singing, you've got to take a breath in and you're exhaling it when the sound comes out. So this is a really good way, I think, to take care of yourself. And then I have special little beads there that my mother picked out before she passed away. My dad wanted to know if he had a gold star when he was dying, because he didn't know how to die. And the nurse said to him, "Well, Mr. Cooper, it's between you and the big guy upstairs. He'll teach you how to die." So, you know, there's just things that people say, and you can make these beads, and they really help you center yourself. And you're going to see a lot in hospice. And that's why a lot of people choose not to go into hospice work, because they're not prepared in themselves yet to face what they're going to see, and they're going to see a lot. And I won't go over some of the things that you'll see, because that's in yesterday's conversation with group two. But it's a very charged situation. So thank you, Metta, that gave me a chance to give out some of that information. Okay, let's go to Angela from Norway. Angela, you have the mic.
Yes, thank you. I what I wanted to say earlier, previous, is not important, but I have a very simple question. What is a bead? You said a bead shop. I have tried to find it in a dictionary. I don't find the word. How do you spell
bead,
it?
Bead, a B-E-A-D, bead. A bead is what do you call a bead? It's like a little bubble, and you put string in it. Okay, if somebody help me here with translating into Norwegian. How would somebody describe a bead? Okay, here we go. Tanya's going to help us out. Tanya, how would you describe a bead?
I was going to say it's like the little plastic-colored circles on a necklace.
Oh, a little plastic-colored circle on a necklace. I tend to use the Swarovski crystals on my beads. Okay? And so you're just making your own, like, little prayer beads that you can handle and touch. And I usually do it, you know, four beads together with just one bead in between. And then I'll put, like, three little beads after that. So they become in groups of four. So thank you, Tanya, on that. Okay, was there anything else, Angela, that you'd like to say?
Yeah, maybe, but it didn't have anything to do with directly with the grieving or dying process. But
No. This is just a tool that I'm giving out that works very, very well to help ground yourself. Yeah. And my New Year's resolution this year was to make sure I did that every morning. Every day. And so far, we're 14 days into the new year, and I haven't broken my resolution yet.
Oh, yes. But my question was something totally different. I am doing my music and my improvisations, and I think it's very much fun. But I would be interested to hear some of the improvisations others do. So I thought, I just wanted to tell you, I will write on the forum and ask if somebody likes to share improvisations with the others of us, because it would be nice just to hear what is possible to do and how does it sound if what other people do.
That sounds like a great idea. What I would suggest is that you go onto the forum and you start a topic called improvisation sharing and ask, and then I think the way that might happen I'm not sure how people can share it as a whole group, but they might be able to take one of their MP3s that they've done and send it to you in an email. And those, yeah. Usually those are too big to send just in emails. And so let me tell you of a program. It's called Hightail, Hightail.com. And for free, you can send a large, like a recording or a PowerPoint or whatever. One, you can do one to one person for free.
Yeah.
If you want to have a subscription with them, then you'd pay, and then you could send more than one to more one person and more things. But that would be a way to send things to people who really wanted to hear other people's improvisations.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, that's a very good idea. Thank you. And let's go to Gecko right now, and you have the mic. What would you like to share with us today?
Well, I have no questions, but I just pressed the button to say hello to everyone, and to you especially.
Oh, wonderful, and I look forward to seeing you this summer. I just made my airline reservation last night to come to Netherlands, so
okay.
I'm all set.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll meet again. We'll meet each other.
Okay, we'll see you then. Thank you. And let's go to Lisa Justin. You have the mic right now, Lisa.
Hello, good evening, everybody. I'm listening. I had put the one key to help with the translation of the bed, which is in Dutch, it's Kralen. So maybe in Norwegian it's something like that. And there's a beautiful picture in last month's lesson of your string of...
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah.
And in Dutch it's Kralen. So in Norwegian sometimes looks like Dutch. And I'm enjoying a lot this month's lesson. It's really all very new information. And I'm going deep into it. Thanks.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a different month in a way. Yesterday after the conversation, I thought, well, this one was a little bit more somber than others, but that's the nature of working in hospice, and especially if you're involved in children's hospice, it's very, very hard. It's one thing to be there and witness somebody who's lived a full life, and it's another thing to be there when parents are losing their children. That's extremely difficult. And yet at the same time, the music that we provide is very, very helpful. That brings up something I want to remind you about. There are, in The Color My World, there's 120 songs. And what I've done is I've sent to your mentors a list of those songs that work for uplifting, calming, grounding, and they're in the different elements. So the songs that you're required to learn in the Illuminations book, those songs are chosen because they have structure. And lots of times the improvisations tend to wander a little bit and you lose a lot of structure. And there's times where you need to have music for people that have a good structure and yet they're not identifiable, so that people don't have some kind of connotation with a song. People might think that the canon in D is a beautiful song to play. Oh, I've learned that on the harp. I'm going to play it for so-and-so. And yet, it could be this was a real life situation. I was playing that for somebody, and it was the song that was played at her wedding, and her husband left her, and so she ended up getting divorced. And so that song just really set her off into a lot of tears. It didn't come across as beautiful. It came across as very painful. So there are certain songs that you want to have that have structure, that are not improvisations, that will help balance energies. So what I did, boy, I should have brought some water in this morning. What I did was I took the 120 songs from the Color My World, the ones that you, the little cards that you can clip onto your harp, and I went through and I put all of those into different categories. And your mentor has that. I sent that to him last night. And you can ask them to send you the listing. It's really, if you're a beginning harp player and the songs in the Illumination book seem just a little bit over what you can do right now, ask for the easier songs because it will give you the melody and it will give you that one note that you need in your left hand. And those will suffice. They will also suffice very well to augment those 33 tunes that you need, three in each category. Okay? Okay, let's go on to Tanya Stevens. Tanya, you have the mic.
Oh, hello. All I asked you is just to say hello to everybody.
Wonderful. And everything's going well for you over there?
Yes, thank you, yeah. I haven't looked at the quiz yet, but I was making good progress last week, and I've been quite unwell this week, so I've lost the flow a bit, but I'll be getting back into it all over the weekend. That's it. Had a lovely time with Mika doing some music playing on New Year's Eve, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, Mika. That was really nice. It's all going good.
Good. I got a nice letter yesterday from Julia, and I think she has sent it to all of us who were in the all of the people that were in the French class this past summer, with lovely pictures of her little baby. Okay, talking about the quiz, we're going to get on to that in a second, but right now I'd like to open the mic right up to Harriet. Harriet, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Happy New Year. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Christina, I just wanted to share the children's hospice experience with you and everyone, because I do work in them, and I, as probably everyone doesn't know, I lost one of my sons 10 years ago. He was 21, and it was very painful. So I've been through the grieving process, and when I go to the hospices, I understand so much what the mothers and fathers are going through as well. And I think what I've learned over the last 10 years is that everybody grieves differently. Everyone. Some of them, especially in the hospices, they really do like structure when you're sitting by the bedside. They like to root themselves with you, provided you're grounded, because in a way they need you to hold them when they're sitting there with their child who's about to go. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't played the harp, and that will be a real reward for me to play the harp. But I sing, and I've written songs especially for the bedside. I mean, some of the children cheer up incredibly quickly with a bit of music. And that, when the parents see their child, who you're told has only a few days to live, the parents cheer up too, and they all cheer up, and they go on to into this journey. And you hold them in a journey, a little story, a little song, and it works. It really works. The children wake up when you're sitting there.
Right.
As you know only too well yourself, Christina. But as a grieving person myself, I know how hard it was for someone to try and comfort you, because you're numb. You see them trying to help you, and it often doesn't help you. It's like it takes a while for you to handle your own grief. And having to hold the children as well, losing their brother was very hard. But it was an amazing experience. And now when I look back, I've been enriched by it. And I think they have too, just by the whole process and how we've all survived and coped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the modes, especially in raga music, really held all of us.
Right.
Any type of, yeah. So that's what I wanted to say, and if that's any help for everyone else.
You said this so beautifully, Harriet. You absolutely said it so beautifully to everybody. And it's so true. When somebody's grieving, they're numb. And when you're working with children, children are so much closer to the, as they come into this life, they're so much more pure. And they're able to, they're so much more resilient than many of us as we go on with life and we become full of, fear and grief. The children are less in that place, and they do bounce back. And one of the things that I advise people is to stay in the Ionian mode when you're playing for children. And because when you go into the Aeolian mode, you're really just going to play right upon the grief even more. And I think at this point what I'd like to do is I'd like to go right into the discussions about what to play for when people are grieving. And then at the end I'll take comments and get to Bay and to Denise at that point. So let's jump into the grieving music for grieving. And let's see, let me just turn off this mic here. Here we go. Okay. So what kind of music do you, what are the different stages of grieving and what do you play? So the first phase of grieving is that people are experiencing the unthinkable. And they're just, like Harriet just said, they're numb. And I find lots of times that the best thing you can do is play no music. And like Harriet says, it depends on how the person is grieving. And there's many different kinds. Some people are very angry. Some people are very tearful. Some people are just totally numb. But when that phase one comes, it's again, as Harriet said, you know somebody's there that's trying to help you with the process, but it's just going over your head at that point. You're just totally numb, and it's even more of a chore to even say, well, thank you very much, you know, to somebody when they know that somebody's trying to help them. That part, that phase of grieving, is a time when somebody really needs to go within themselves and just many times be alone. Or it could be completely opposite. It could be like, I got to go out, I got to be around people, I got to go to the mall, I got to go shopping, and anything just to mask the deep, deep pain. So what I've done on many occasions, though, when I'm working in a situation when people are grieving, is because I have extra instruments and I have these little lap harps, and these little lap harps that I have, you can put a paper underneath and it kind of has little arrows where you can play tunes. What I've done is I've left an instrument with somebody who's really in that place so that if they want to turn to the music, they can on their own and they can play and they can find the solace. A reverie harp is another lap harp made by Peter from down in Australia. If you were to Google reverie harp, you would get that information. They're sold through Music Makers, which has a lot of harps and different products, and so they carry Peter's harps that he builds. And they're tuned in like pentatonic tunings, so a person can just hold it against their body and strum it. I have many harps, and so I've got little harps that don't even have levers on them, and sometimes I just leave a harp with somebody when I know that they're in that stage. Now the next phase, phase two, is when a person is stumbling in the dark and they're in denial and anger. And this is a time just to be a very attentive listener and to help encourage people to express their feelings, maybe through journaling and drumming if they're experiencing anger. The harp is not going to be that effective when somebody has to release anger. Sometimes it's just too pretty. It's too pretty. So sometimes you just need to be there and help them and just talk with them or even use a drum and have drum beats. If you are going to play the harp, you might have them create the rhythm to it and get a rhythm so that it really feels like, you know, I'm getting this out. And I'll tell you right now that the songs in the Orange series, Strength and Courage, are songs that you can do that with in the Color My World. So those, each one of those series is guided to have songs. And you have some Dorian pieces in the Orange Color My World. And if you can get somebody to dum 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 dum, and of course you're only going to do that if you feel that there's the anger there, and you can get them to, you know, tap the soundboard of the harp while you're playing it. You can turn it around and just have them do the Dorian playing. So this is another stage. And again, you have to be very careful. You know, if a person is not in that stage of denial and anger, don't create it for them. You know, you've got to watch for it. The phase three is linking the past to the present. And that's when people start going into depression. They remember all the things from the past and they're pulling it into the present. And this is a time when you're going to match the patient, but you're going to carefully modulate between two modes, the Aeolian and the Ionian. And you're not going to try to make someone happy, but at the same time, you don't want to put them further down into their depression. So it's like climbing a very, very long, slow staircase. So if you're working with somebody in depression, then you'd be kind of matching them in an Aeolian mode, the minor mode, but not as deep as what we would use in the water element. It would be more the wood element. And all of these elements you're going to be finding out about in your number 9 lesson, how to balance energies. So this is a lighter Aeolian, and you're going to work with that kind of music and improvisation. You're going to go back and forth from your root to your seventh, to your root to your seventh, improvising. And then one of the things that you're going to be learning pretty soon is how to modulate from mode to mode. Right now, you're basically learning how to improvise in each of the modes. Okay? This is laid out step by step by step for you. And you don't even realize it when you're doing it, but when you look back on it, you're going to have all of the tools where you'll be able to go from mode to mode. And one of the things that we did in the level 2 is that we learned how to go from minor to major to minor to major. Now, it's very easy to go from major to minor. You can just slip right into that. But if you've been playing minor music for a long, long time, it's almost like a slap in the face when you start playing Ionian music, major music. It's like, oh my gosh, I was with the music and I was into it, and all of a sudden it changed and it's all kind of feeling like happy-go-lucky. What happened? So there's a way of modulating to that, which is what we call our turnaround note. So that will be coming up in your studies. You won't get there until you get the ones that you've got before you. So that's why you want to keep on with your music development. And I know that it's been crazy over the holidays for people, and I'm encouraging people to make sure they hear all of the online classes at the expense of putting the music on the back burner a little bit. But don't give up working on the music, because you want to keep getting each one of these steps so that you'll be able to do those modulations. So here you are, you're going to be going with your light Aeolian, and then you're going to modulate up to the Ionian with your turnaround note. But as soon as you start losing that person, then you want to slip back down into the Aeolian again until all of a sudden you work it up to the Ionian, and it's going to be that slow climb. And people will eventually pull up so that the Ionian will lift them up. So that's what you can do for the phase three. For the phase four, this is the turn. They're turning to the wind. They're accepting what's happening. And this is the time that you would want to keep working with the Ionian mode, the major mode, and just keep the music very gentle. They're going into the acceptance time, and you want to stay away from the minor modes. And your minor modes are the Aeolian, the Dorian, the Phrygian, which we don't use much of all, okay, and the Locrian. And your major modes are the Ionian, the major, the Mixolydian, and the Lydian, and we don't use the Lydian much. Although I have to say, Alex from Belgium has some beautiful, beautiful Lydian pieces. And if you're really looking for a lot of music in the different modes, you should get in touch with Alex Collin. And I'm trying to think the best way to get in touch with her. If you have the Color My World series, then on the Yellow series, she has a song in there which is called Le Petit Rayon du Soleil, the little sunray, and it will give her information. And if you don't have that, you can write to me, and I'll give you her address, and then you can order some of the music that she's beautifully done with all the different modes, including the ones that we don't use so much. They come out of the medieval tradition, and especially music from France and Belgium. Okay, so then after phase four, we're going into phase five, which is the reconstruction period, and that's where people are picking up the pieces. Again, keep into the Ionian music during that time. Don't slip back down into the Aeolian again. You might think, oh, I've got this beautiful, beautiful piece of music. It touches my soul so much. This is not the time at this point, generally speaking. Phase six is working through. Let's see, five and six are very similar. It's picking up the pieces and working through them, reconstruction. So Ionian. And then the phase seven is the integration of where you can get back to your life. You can see daylight. And you just want to remember during this time that people are still pretty tender. You know, they've worked through the grieving process, and they're still pretty tender, especially when it comes upon things like holidays, Christmas or Hanukkah, or times where they have those memories can kick them really back into the grieving process. I had a little bit of that this year, actually, listening to some of the songs that I shared with my mother. So you have to be really careful. My last day in the UK, since many of you were in that class on the call here, I ended up going to church in Brighton that Sunday morning, and it was pouring rain. Actually, that's no big thing because it was pouring rain practically the whole time I was in England. I think I had 4 days of sunshine. But I went to church, and I was dripping wet by the time I got into church. My umbrella wouldn't stay the way it should be. It kept flying open all the time, so I got very wet. And it was just a wonderful church service, and at the very end, the pianist was playing on the piano, and all of a sudden, she played the one duet that my mother and I always played together, called the Norwegian Song. How do you like that, Angela? It's called the Norwegian Song by Grieg. And all of a sudden, I just totally lost it. I'm sitting there with all these tears running down my face, and I was just like kicked right back, you know, just sitting there with my mom playing the song. And when the minister was walking out, and she looked at me, and then she just turned, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." And, you know, so music has got such power over us that just hearing the opening to that, you know, can set somebody off. Now, there's a lot of theories about the grieving process, and you'll find in the Cradle of Sound book that there's another pretty much the same different phases that people go through. And you just really need to be aware of what kind of music you're going to play for somebody. So I'm going to ask for any comments on this from you to press number one. And while you're doing that, I'm going to open up the mic to Bay because there were two comments that came in that I didn't take before. Bay, you have the mic right now.
Oh, hello, Christina. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, actually, I just pressed it to explain what a bead is. But while I'm on air, it's nice just to say hello to everyone. And just to say, I found this, I'm a bit behind actually with this module because of Christmas, but mm-hmm. it's really, really moving. And I have got a bit behind with the playing, but so it's encouraging for you to say, you know, just keep going with it and it'll
right.
all come together in the end.
I think most people are behind right now, so.
Yeah. But otherwise, you know, it's very nourishing. I'm enjoying this, but if you can say I'm enjoying it, I'm getting a lot out of this. This particular month.
Thanks. You're very welcome. And let's see. Let me go. I'm going to go up to Lisa because I think Lisa has a comment about what we were just talking about. Lisa, you have the mic?
Yes, hi, thanks. You went over the phases of grieving, and I was just wondering where to find that information to read about it. Is it in the Cradle of Sound manual?
It is. It's in the Cradle of Sound, and there's a chapter on grieving with a different phase. Okay.
I'll get to this. Thanks.
Okay. And let's see. I want to open up the mic to Denise McKenzie. You have the mic.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for letting me switch my times. It was wonderful, and it's nice to hear everybody from a different call.
I know, isn't it? The timing works good to call from America in the morning because it's evening time over there for them. The people that really have the hard end of this, the calling business, are the people that are in Asia and Australia, because in order for me to conduct the call, it's like 2 or 3 in the morning for them to have a decent time. So they have the harder end of this. Thank
yeah.
you, Denise.
Appreciate it. It's you know, it's been such a busy season, and it just worked out very well for me to take a Wednesday call. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Anybody else? They have a comment about what we were just talking about. Press number one, please. Okay. Great. Let's go to Diane Clark. Diane, you have the mic.
Thank you very much for also allowing me to change my time. In the discussion about that we initially opened up our session with, about talking to families who are distraught of how the patient is acting, one thing coming from the medical field that is very important to find out is how much education has the hospice staff actually done to the family. So mm-hmm. The hospice staff first and find out what they have told them so that we don't get caught in a situation that we're giving information that is conflicting, or maybe they haven't given them any information about a certain phase of the dying process and we can help them through it.
Right, right. Very, very, very right, Diane. You want to tell people your background?
Yes, I'm a registered nurse, so I have worked in the numerous different areas of the hospital, have taken care of a number of hospice patients. So I wish that I would have had the resource of music during my nursing career, because I think it would have been very, very helpful. In my area in the Midwest, music is just being implemented, and it's very slowly being implemented throughout a lot of the medical fields.
Right, right. One of the things that most of you are going to find when you go to work or play in the hospice is that they are going to require you to take their hospice training program, which is really good, because hospice does have a program where they really show you what the processes are. In fact, I was actually quite amazed. One of the things that I had not learned in my training was something that happened with my own mother when she passed away a couple of years ago. And I was in the room after she had passed away, and they came in to clean her. And they rolled her over, and her whole back was all black and blue. And I, you know, I was shocked. I was like, wow, what happened? And they said, well, when when the dying actually happens and the breathing stops, all of the blood settles, and it gravity pulls it down. And, in fact, in talking to the undertaker after, he said his hardest job is to make somebody look like they did, if they're in a casket, who actually died face down, because the blood all settles down there. And that was something that I never had been exposed to. And so that was a real shock for me. So those are things that, you know, you need to just be prepared for. I did mention yesterday in yesterday's call that many times you're going to be asked, if you're working in hospice, to go into the room and play for somebody who's already passed away. The family is there with them, and they will ask you if you'll go in. So you'll actually be in the room with somebody who's passed away. And one of the other things I just want to say is this is such a profound and sacred space for you to be honored with that, to be with that person. Here they've lived a whole life, just like we're living it right now. You're listening to me on the telephone right now, and some of you are cooking dinner and going to go shopping and everything. These people in the hospice, they've done all the same thing. They've lived full lives. And then to be the person that's with them while they're taking their last breath in life, what an incredibly profound experience that is for you. And I can guarantee that when you're in that position, you're going to walk away from there, and you're going to need some time to process what is life and death and the whole process of living all about. If you get the opportunity to ever take the Anam Kara project that you're reading about in this month's lesson, it is a beautiful program that I've been teaching with for quite a few years. And there's a lot of ritual to it, and understanding how to be that person by the bedside. So I think, again, this is a very valuable place for music. You will hear in the other conversation about working with resonant tone and what to play for people when they're taking their last breath, and how to match people. And that information is what we impart in the level two. And again, it took me a long time to feel comfortable about finding resonant tone after I took the resonant kinesiology program with Susan Borg. But once you realize what it is and that you found it once, everything around you becomes resonance. And when you find that resonance of a person, the only way I can describe it is that's where the miracles happen. That's where the magic happens. It's one thing to play a pretty song on the harp, and it might just go right over a person's head. It might be nice, but when you actually are linked to that person and connected with that person, that's when you become one with the music and with the two of you. and it's a very special place. The other thing to remember is that when you're playing and somebody dies, you will never, never, never be the one that caused that person to die. You do not have that power over another person. You've got to wipe that thought from your head. You do not have that power. They may choose to die when you're playing the music because it's so beautiful and that's what they needed, but that was their choice. You will not cause somebody to die. Okay? Anybody have a comment before we sign off today? Well, I don't see any hands. I do want to say that I'm putting out information. Oh, yes, I do have a question for you. Yesterday or the day before, I sent information on our upcoming conference, and I've included people who are not coming because I want you to see some of the people and what they're doing. If you did not receive that number one update to the conference information with interviews, could you press number one on your keypad right now? And I will make note of that so that you get on that particular list. Okay, let me, here we go, updates. So we have Diane, and we have Lisa, and Lisa Justin. Okay, you, the two of you. Okay, I'll make sure that you get those updates. And right now, let's open up the mic to Esther Hackett. And Esther, you have the mic.
Hello, Tina, and hello, all you lovely ladies.
Hello.
Happy to be here to you. And hello. And thank you very much for including me in this, Tina. There's always something new to learn, even though I think I've done, you know, a lot. But thanks very much for sharing all that with me. And that's great. So all is well and thundering along nicely.
Oh, that's wonderful, Esther.
Can you
Okay, everybody. I look forward to seeing a lot of you this summer. And some of you I see are coming to the conference. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And do what you can. Try to keep on track. And it's all going to fall in place, and you've got time after the online goes off. And I'm actually quite excited because I'm in the process of revamping things for the future, so I've got some nice direction from above. I'm going to open up the mic now to everybody, and you can all say goodbye to each other, and we'll talk to you again in February. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.